Man, hasn't Summer at Victory been incredible, this series that we're doing? It's been good, y'all. I've been enjoying myself so far. And I'm going to tell you, I've been here at this church for coming up on 10 years, actually past 10 years now. But so I've heard Pastor Terry, I've heard Pastor Ben speak. And man, the past few weeks, I'm going to tell you, it's been some of the best messages I think they've ever brought. And if you've missed the first three parts of Summer of Victory, go online, go on the app and rewatch them, because they've been absolutely incredible. And I know summer can kind of be a downtime for people, you know, where you get a little more rest, the pace kind of slows down a little bit. Maybe some of y'all, you're like, no, the pace is just speeding up because the kids are at home, you know, whatever it is. But I want to share with you guys a challenge that that we kind of have the heart, especially that we've shared with the youth. And that is, even if it's a downtime, even if summer is a downtime, and it is for a lot of us, let's not waste the summer. Let's not waste summer of 2019. Let's let summer of 2019 be a moment in our lives that we can look back and say it's a milestone moment in our lives spiritually, where God has done something, where he's doing a work that changes your life, the trajectory of your life for truly the rest of your life. And so in that spirit, I want to try and come alongside you and help you to that goal today. And I'm humbled and I'm thankful that I get to speak to you guys today and next Sunday. And I'm going to share with you guys this week and next week messages on two topics to me that I think they've made some of the biggest impact on my life personally, spiritually, in the last 10 years. And so I'm super passionate about it. I'm super excited about it. And I was telling my wife, you know, I was like, I've got too much stuff to say. You know, I've never had this problem happen before. She's like, no, you have this problem all the time. You always have this problem. You're always talking to her. So I mean, y'all know she knows me, right? She knows me. But I'm going to say this. What I'm sharing about today, what I'm sharing about next week, I can honestly say that I am who I am today. I am where I am today because of these two life-changing ideas from the Word of God. And so I'm incredibly excited about it. Before we get started, though, I want to read the summer's theme verse, the Summer of Victory. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 26. It says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. Everybody say, everyone runs. But only one person gets the prize. So run to win. Can you go to the next scripture for me? All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. And here, this is what we're going to key in on the last scripture. Can you go to, there we go. So I run with purpose in every step. Everybody say, I run. Now say, with purpose. Come on, y'all. I'm so excited. I love this idea of running with a purpose. It says everybody runs, but I'm going to run with purpose. I love this idea of running with purpose because in 2019, how many of y'all know we do a lot of running? Yeah, we do a lot of running. Some of y'all are like, I don't exercise. I don't know. But you do a lot of running. You do the running that everybody does. Look, you run to work, right? Some of y'all, you're running from work, you know. But you run to work, you run to the kids to school, you run to the kids' ball games, to their plays, to their band concerts, you run into birthday parties, you run to the gym, you have to run to the bank, you run into Walmart, you run back into Walmart for the thing that you forgot, you know, like, that's a bad feeling, y'all know, when you're going to the, and you've got all the kids and you're, oh, we got to go back in, right? But we run and we run and we run. We run here, we run there. We run here, we run there, we do all this running. And then at the end of the day, when we finally wind down, we're done with our running for the day. We open up our phone and look on social media and we see all the people that ran more than we did. Am I right? Or we open up our phone and we see all the people that ran better than we did. Or it looks like they ran better than us. You look at all the people, you're like, they ran to Disney World. I want to run to Disney World. You look at all that, and what do? You see all the people who've run more than you, and you say to yourself, tomorrow, I'm going to run a little more. Tomorrow, I'm going to run a little better. Tomorrow, I'm going to outrun those runners, right? I'm going to do a little bit more. I'm going to try a little bit. You see, what the scripture for this summer says, it's not enough to just run. everybody runs. It's not enough to just run. If all, let me say it this way. If all you're doing is running, eventually you will run out. I need to rewind and say that again. If all you're doing is running, eventually you're going to run out. So what we've got to do is take hold of that second idea, that second half of the statement that Paul says. He says, I run with purpose. Everybody say, with purpose. So today's message is called The Potential of Your Purpose. The potential of your purpose. Turn to this person next to you and say, you've got potential. I don't know if you said that to your spouse. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm going to get y'all in trouble this morning, everybody. Anybody remember physics class from high school? Anybody? You remember? I've tried to forget physics class from high school. No. I remember this idea from physics class or science class. I don't remember what it was. I didn't pay attention. But they talked about all these different kinds of energy. Y'all heard about that? There's kinetic energy. You know, that's the when something is moving right now is kinetic energy. You know what I'm talking about? There's chemical energy, like the energy that's in gunpowder waiting to get, you know, explode. There's all these sorts of different kinds of energy. And so one of the things that I remembered as I was thinking about this message was this one type of energy called potential energy. Can everybody say potential? Potential energy. And now potential energy is different from kinetic energy because you can see kinetic energy. You can see it. You know, when something is moving, it's you could see that it's super easy to see. Now potential energy is something that it's not quite as easy to see. Potential energy. Now this is what potential energy. Potential energy is when energy is being stored in something. Potential energy is when there's energy in this object, but it's being stored. It's being ready to use. It's energy that's literally been put into an object, and it's being stored, and it's ready to be used. Now, it's kind of like a wound-up spring or a mouse trap. You know, you ever seen a mouse trap that's ready to go off? It's not moving, but it's got so much potential energy in there, right? Or not just a wound-up spring, but if you guys have seen the rubber bands on your chair and you were wondering what they were for, go ahead and take it out, right? There you go. Those are free of charge this morning, everybody. You don't have to pay for that rubber band. You could take that home. You're welcome. But potential... Come on now. Who's, oh, I'm immediately regretting this decision. Put the rubber band back in your pocket, everybody. That's the spouse who somebody told them they got potential. Come on. That's what I get. But potential energy is like when you pull back a rubber band, right? Okay, I'm going to do it for you right now. You pull back the rubber band. You pull back the rubber band. There we go. I have now put energy into this rubber band. You don't see it moving, but there's so much energy that I have put into this rubber band. It's potential energy that's being stored in it. And all it's waiting for is it's waiting for that energy to be released. Do y'all see that? There you go. Man, I made all the spouses angry this morning. That energy is just waiting to be released. That energy is waiting to be released. And the reality is that idea, when you see that, the energy's put into it and it's just waiting there to take off. Look at it. Just like that. That picture is exactly what discovering your God-given purpose looks like. Because God has put your purpose inside you to be your potential. And it's waiting. It's just waiting to be awakened and discovered and released in your life. Everybody say, there's potential in my purpose. Come on. No, you got to say it like you believe it. Say, there's potential in my purpose. There's potential in your purpose. And the reality is the moment that it takes off in your life is the moment that you see it. The moment that you see it. Look at Habakkuk 2:2. Y'all, I'm preaching at Habakkuk this morning. Come on, y'all. It sounds like I got something in the back of my throat. I'm talking out of Habakkuk. But the scripture says this. The Lord answered me. Write the vision. Write down the vision that I have for you. Make it plain on tablets so that he may run who reads it. I don't know if you know this morning, but God has got a vision for your life. God has got a purpose and a plan for your life. And the biggest mistake you could make would be to not read it, to not ever see it, have it made plain to you. You've got to discover it. You've got to see the purpose before the purpose can be released in your life. You've got to see it to release it. God has got a vision. He's got a purpose for your life. And the thing is, he wants it to be spelled out for you. He wants you to see it so that you can run. It's when you see it that you can start moving. It's when you see it that you can run. He says, make it plain. Another translation said, write it in big block letters. He wants you to see the vision that he has for your life. He wants you to see the plan. He wants you to see the purpose. The thing is, the reason that we had, look, remember the first scripture where it says that everybody runs, I'm going to run with purpose. He's saying, you got to see the vision so that you can run. You've got to see the vision so that you can run, so you can do the right kind of running this morning. Now, we've got that potential. We've got that potential. And if we want to realize it, we want to see it, it's easy as just 1, 2, 3. I'm going to share those three things with you this morning. The first thing is this, is that you've got to believe that you have an eternal purpose. You got to believe that you have an eternal purpose. And that word eternal is so important. Because some of you go, I've got purpose, you know, because I do this. This is my day job. You got to believe you have an eternal purpose. You're made for so much more than just the everyday nonsense. You're made for an eternal purpose. You're made for an eternal purpose. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says this. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you for your purpose. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, he's talking to Jeremiah. He's saying, before you were even born, I had a design and a vision and a plan and a purpose for your life. And he's saying the exact same thing to you this morning. Before you were even born, God had a plan and a vision and a purpose for how to use you to make a difference in this world. And we've got to see that potential before that energy can be released in your life. We've got to see it. Now, I don't know what anybody's ever told you before. I don't know if maybe somebody's told you that you're an accident, right? I don't know. Look, my parents, I have one older brother who's 5 years older than me. And they only plan on having one child. I don't know if y'all. Here I am. My parents, they told that you were a surprise, and they didn't say it in a malicious, in a mean way, but that always, I always remember that they would tell you were a surprise. You were an accident. They said it to me sometimes. Hello. But I'm thankful that I'm not an accident. And like I said, I don't think they meant it malicious. But maybe somebody's spoken something similar like that over your life before. But I want to stand up here today and say on behalf of God to you that you're not an accident. There's not one person in here who is an accident. God doesn't make accidents. He doesn't make mistakes. You were created on purpose for a purpose. Let me put it this way. If you've got a pulse, you've got a purpose. If you are in here this morning and you're breathing the same air as we are, you've got a purpose and a calling all over your life. And God's just waiting for you to step into it. You've got purpose in your life. So the first step in this whole process is you've got to believe that you have an eternal purpose. You look at the Bible, and really you look at all things in life, you see that there's two different kinds of purposes, okay? There's two different kinds of purposes. It's like in sports. And the reality, you've got, when I say you've got a purpose, you got both kinds, okay? But let's look at sports in particular. And since we're in Louisiana, let's go football. Okay, we're not going to talk cricket. Let's talk football, you know. But in football, there's two different kinds of purposes. Every single time the team steps onto the field, every single time, there's what I call the corporate or the shared or the team purpose. It's every single time they step on the field, they have everyone on the field has this one purpose: to score more touchdowns than the other team, right? Or if you're LSU, to get past the 50-yard line, right? Too soon. Everyone has this shared purpose. Everyone shares this purpose: score more touchdowns than the other team does. But within that team corporate shared purpose, every single player has their own specific individual purpose of how they meet the team corporate shared purpose. Do y'all get what I'm talking about? There's the smart decision maker who can throw the ball farther than anybody else on the team. It would be a bad idea to make him just run into people. You know, we want him throwing the ball. There's the super fast person who can jump higher than anybody and has super strong hands. You want them to be the person who catches the ball, right? That's the receiver. You've got the big boys who have never skipped a meal in their lives. We call them the coaches, right? I hope Coach O is not in here this morning, because I would not want to take him on in a fight. But see, they all have the same shared team corporate purpose. They've got that one purpose, but within that, there's that second kind of purpose, the individual specific purpose that every single one of them has. And the reality is that it's in the church, it is no different. It's the exact same, because in the church, we have the corporate big team shared purpose that we all have, which is to know God and to make him known, to love God and to spread his love all over the world. We have this corporate team shared purpose. And the word Christian, y'all, it's got a connotation these days, but the word Christian really means a little Christ. A little Christ. So if you're a Christian, you call yourself a Christian, you're a little Christ. And what did Christ do? What was his purpose? In a nutshell, he changed the world by pointing people to God. He changed the world by pointing people to God. And that's your shared team corporate purpose too. Every single one of us. To change the world by pointing them to God. Let me say it this way. God made you to make a difference. God made you to make a difference. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says this: for we are God's masterpiece. I love that. For we are God's masterpiece. And it says this: he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he has planned, he's had planned for us long ago. God has created you new in Christ Jesus to do the good things that he's planned for you. He's got a purpose planned for you. He has got a purpose planned for you this morning. And I want to tell you this morning, all that running that we do, running here, running there, running to work, running to Walmart, all that running that we do, I want to tell you, you were made for so much more than just running after paycheck after paycheck after paycheck. You were made for so much more than that. You were designed, created, fashioned for a purpose. You were made for so much more than just going through the motions. You were made to make a difference in this world. And I want to say this to you. That difference, that purpose is to point the world to the hope that's only found in Jesus. Every single one of us. Let me say it this way. God wants to make a difference in the world. He wants to do it through you. So if we were made for a purpose, what is it? The second thing is this. So first, we have to believe in our heads, in our hearts, that we have an eternal purpose. The second thing is we've got to discover our purpose. You've got to discover your purpose. You can't run until it's made plain to you. You've got to discover your purpose. God wants to use you to make a difference in this world, but you've got to discover your individual purpose. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5 says this. It says, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water. It's like a well, but a man of understanding will draw it out. The purpose in your heart is like a well of deep water. And the minute that you start to draw it out, it's going to start to quench a thirst in you that you didn't even know that you had. It's like a well, and we've got to be people of understanding and draw it out. And honestly, that's the reason why we make such a big deal week after week about the discovery class that we have. That's why we make such a big deal about it, because honestly, going through life not knowing your God-given purpose would be an incredible mistake. If you've got all of that potential in your life and you never saw it, you never realized it, it was never released in your life, how big of a mistake would that be? This is one of the messages that has just so resonated with me and made such an impact in my life. And it's why I'm so passionate about our discovery class, because going through life not knowing your purpose would be an incredible, incredible mistake. And so, like we said earlier, discovery starts again next Sunday, and we would be so incredibly excited for you to go. And that's honestly the whole reason why we do discovery, is to help you discover your purpose. It's to help you see how God has designed you. Psalm 139 says this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. Now, the purpose of discovery, we all kind of maybe heard this before: I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. But the purpose of discovery is that you could say the second half: I know that full well. Are y'all tracking with me? That you'd be able to look at your life and see the design and see how God has handcrafted you, and look at it and have an aha moment and say, now I know it. Now I can fully see it. Now I can run with it. Man, because we believe that your design helps to reveal your destiny. That's one of the things we say in discovery all the time. Your design helps to reveal your destiny. Let me say it this way. The way that God made you points to what he made you for. The way he crafted you points to what he made you for. One of my favorite things to do with the youth is whenever they tell me they play baseball. Again, I grew up, I love baseball. Whenever they tell me that they play baseball, I like to try and guess what their position is in baseball, what position that they play. And it's really funny, because sometimes I'll say it. I'm just like, oh, you're this, aren't you? You're a first baseman. And they'll just like look at me with their eyes real big. Like, how did you know that? How did you know I was a first? Like, I just did like a magic trick, like I'm a psychic or something, you know? You're a first baseman. How did you know that? And I'll look at him and be like, well, 9 times out of 10, the first baseman is the tallest person on the team, and you're 6'4" and in the 8th grade. Just putting 2 and 2 together here. Y'all know your design helps to reveal your destiny. Any of the men in here ever used a screwdriver to do a hammer's job? Yeah, me and Stephen Avera were putting a cabinet together in the youth room a few weeks ago, and I didn't have a hammer on me. We were trying to jam these little 2x4 braces in, and I didn't have a hammer, so I'm a man. What did I use? My bare hands. It felt really good the first time, but then like the third piece of wood that I'm just jamming in there, it really hurt. It was a bad idea. I needed a hammer. Y'all know that God has created each and every one of you for a specific purpose. He's created you. He doesn't create a hammer to do a screwdriver's job, or a saw to do a pulley's job. You know, there's all these different tools, and every single one of us has been handcrafted, designed a specific way to do a specific purpose. Your design helps to reveal your destiny. The design points to the purpose, and it's the same with you. God's created you for that big, shared, team, corporate purpose of changing the world, but you've got to figure out what your fit is. You've got to figure out what your design is and how that points to what God wants you to do. Some of you guys may be sitting there. I want to speak to the introverts out there. Some of you guys are like, yeah, well, you know, sharing Jesus with people, that's what extroverts do. I can't barely like say hello to somebody, you know, like, you want me to like preach a sermon to them? You know, what are you talking about? And this is what I want to say to you. Is that if you are shy, look, God has handcrafted, he's put passions in you too. He's put something that you're better than anybody else in the world at. Look, we've got a tech team in the back, right? That they're not at the doors doing the greeting. They're in the spaceship back there, right? We've got some tech wizards back there. I mean, have y'all ever like peeked in there? It is like a spaceship. There's all the flat screens on. If you're shy and you're a computer whiz, you could be back there serving, taking part of the tech team. And let me tell you this, they may not be out there greeting people and, you know, preaching a sermon or this or that, but week after week after week, our tech team is streaming the gospel message to the entire world. Y'all, that's huge. That's huge. You can still be an introvert and still find your purpose and make a difference in this world. Like that tech team who streams the gospel message week after week after week. No joke. A while back, we had a message from a guy in Pakistan. We had an online message from a guy in Pakistan who had been following along with our online messages. And he was asking where the closest Victory location was to him in Pakistan that he could join our church. Are you telling me that an introvert can't? Yeah, come on, put your hands together for the tech team. So I want to tell you, extrovert, introvert, tall, short, you know, athlete, nerd, whatever you are, God has created you the way he's created you so you can make a difference. Stories like that wouldn't be possible except for the tech team stepping out in their purpose and living it out week after week after week after week. Let me say it this way. You'll never be satisfied making a dollar when you were made to make a difference. You will never be satisfied just making a dollar when you are made to make a difference. And I'm saying this. Some of you guys might be out there. Is he telling me to quit my job? No. I'm not saying that. Not saying that at all. But whether it's taking part, taking the next step and taking part of church on Sunday mornings, or whether that means making Monday through Saturday a mission field, whatever it is, you've got to start stepping into your purpose for your life. I'm going to deputize every single person in here to be a missionary on the mission field of your Monday through Friday job, all right? I'm going to deputize you right now. You are a part of the missionary team this week to make a difference in your world. Come on, y'all. You'll never be satisfied making a dollar when you are made to make a difference. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this. It says, before he's talking about all the people who are running from God, who are running after other things, he says, you're not like that. You're a chosen people. You're royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. Now listen, he wasn't just talking to actual priests. He was talking to businessmen. This is a letter to a church. This is a letter to a church, just like right now. So he wasn't just talking to the leaders and the preachers. He was talking to the businessmen, the businesswoman, the students. He was talking to every single person. And he's saying this, you are God's chosen priests. You are God's very own possession. This is it. Why? So that you can show others the goodness of God. For he has called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Isn't that amazing? Come on. Every member of Victory is a minister. Every member is a minister. So everybody say, use your purpose. That's that last part, is using your purpose. Using your purpose. You'll never be satisfied making a dollar when you are designed to make a difference. You've got to believe you have an eternal purpose. You've got to discover what that purpose is. And the last step is you've got to use your purpose. You've got to use your purpose. All that running, everything that we do, all that running in 2019, I've heard it said this, that in America in 2019, people do all this running and do all these things, but in reality, they're just like an octopus on roller skates. There's a whole lot of movement, but they're not going anywhere. It's time to take off the roller skates, everybody. Let's start making our way towards the purpose. Let's find out what God wants us to do, and let's use it. Let's use it. And now, if you're excited, if you're like, yes, I'm going to do this. I'm excited. I'm going to start living out my purpose. I'm going to do it Monday through Friday. I'm going to work tomorrow, and I'm going to get everybody saved, and I'm going to invite them all to church. And I'm going to do it. If you're excited about this, I want to tell you something. If you are excited about believing you have a purpose, about discovering your purpose, you're excited about using your purpose, I want to tell you this, and I want to warn you that there's three purpose roadblocks that the devil will use to either try and keep you from your purpose, or you can already see it in your life that he's been using it to try and keep you from your purpose. There's three roadblocks on this journey. And the first one is this. You're kept back from discovering your purpose and using and living out your purpose because you're discouraged by your past. You look at the things you've done. You look at the words you've said, and you say, there's no way that God could use me. There's no way that God could use me. There's no way that God has any purpose, any plan for my life, because look at what I've done. It's a roadblock that the devil will try and throw at everybody. But I want to encourage you in something. If you look all throughout the Bible, Moses was a murderer. He wrote the first five books of the Bible and helped deliver God's people out of slavery from the most powerful kingdom in the world at that time. He was a murderer that God used. You look at David. David was an adulterer and a murderer, both of them. But God said, looked at David and said, he is a man after my heart. Come on, y'all. There's Paul. Paul's one of my absolute favorites. Paul devoted, you know, the first part of his life to going after the church, going after the followers of Jesus and either getting them killed or arrested. Paul devoted his life to it. If you look, he even calls himself the worst of sinners. He looks at his life, looks at his past and says, man, I was the absolute worst of sinners. But God uses him to write 2/3 of the New Testament and to spread the gospel all throughout the known world at the time. If you're here this morning, and maybe you're the top of your class, or you're the smartest, or you're the most talented, or you're the most goody two shoes. You've got the best speaking abilities. You've got the most leadership abilities. I've got good news for you this morning. God can use you too. Because when you look at Scripture, God, our God, has a tendency of using people that are broken, of using people that feel inadequate, of using people that are messed up and insecure. And I want to tell you this morning, if you feel unqualified because of your mess this morning, that is fantastic. If you feel unqualified because of your mess this morning, that is fantastic, because I want to tell you something. Your mess is your message. Your mess is your message. Paul says it like this in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. He says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And I check what he says. But for that very reason, because I was the worst of sinners, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. If you are discouraged by your past, I want to tell you something. When you walk in your purpose, your past is redeemed. Your past is redeemed. I absolutely love that picture that Paul paints for us. And the second thing, the second roadblock, is that maybe you're distracted by earthly pleasures, or the devil will try and throw it at you to distract you from your purpose. You know what your purpose is, but the things of life just tend to pull you away, pull you away, pull you away. And I want to say to you this morning, there is nothing wrong with pleasure. There's nothing wrong with pleasure. Pleasure is a good thing when it's in the right place. Our God is the God who created steak. Amen, right? Our God is the God who created beaches and music and sex. Can I get an amen this morning, everybody? God is the God who created all. He's not opposed to pleasure, but sometimes in our life, when we let the pleasure take control, take the place that God's purpose should have in our life, that's when things start to go haywire. Sometimes the things that make us feel the best distract us from the things that are the best. if you look at it specifically today, I kind of want to pick on entertainment because it's 2019 and we all have smartphones in our pockets that are probably logged into Netflix right now, okay? In your pocket right now, you have like a bajillion shows that you could be watching right now. That's insane to think about. It's absolutely insane. I'm not saying Netflix is a bad thing. I'm not saying entertainment is necessarily a bad thing, but the amount of distraction and the amount and the array of entertainment that we have at our fingertips this morning in 2019 it's crazy to think about. It's different than any other time in the history of this planet, the amount of entertainment that we have at our fingertips. And I want to say it again, pleasure is a good thing. Entertainment is a good thing. Rest is a good thing. It's good to rest. But I want us to all take a moment this morning to ask ourselves the question, is it possible that in 2019, maybe you specifically, me specifically, we are consuming a little bit too much, a little bit more entertainment than we're supposed to? Is it possible? Is it possible? I mean, in 2013, I looked it up. We had to create the term binge watching. People used to binge drink, now they binge watch. Is it possible that maybe we're consuming more entertainment than we're supposed to, and maybe it's having a different effect than it used to have years ago? Is it possible? Because when it's not in moderation, like I said, entertainment, when it's in moderation, when it's in the right place, it's awesome. It's restful. It's a good thing. It does good for your soul. You know, rest is a good thing. But when it's more than just rest, when the entertainment has started to become, when it's started to become something that you can drown the worries and the cares of life, when it's become more than just rest, I want to tell you something. When it's not in moderation, entertainment can be the devil's counterfeit for God's life of adventure that he has for you. God has a life of adventure that's just like that rubber band that takes off. Before, I mean, this is just boring. Who wants that, right? Y'all are all like, why do I have a rubber band here? I hope he asks us to shoot it, right? And when I started shooting, everybody's like, yes! All the men in here, like the little boys come out, like, yes, I get to shoot it. It's when the purpose is lived out and realized and the potential energy is released that the fun happens, that the adventure happens. And the devil wants to distract us with entertainment to give us this counterfeit of what God truly wants for us in life. What God truly wants for us in life. I want to tell you guys something. In the last 10 years, my life as a husband and as a father and as a youth pastor is so much better than whatever by my own scheme or design that my plans for life when I was, 18 would have looked like. I can honestly say to you that my life right now, knowing that I am walking out my purpose as a godly husband and a godly father and as a youth pastor who's week after week, I get to do this job of preaching the gospel to kids and playing video games with them, just all the getting to pray with them, getting to counsel them through the hardest parts of their life. Man, I know that I am 100% that I am in the purpose that God has created for me. I don't see youth ministry as a stepping stone like other people. Like it's not the diving board. It's the pool for me, y'all. Like I'm so incredibly excited. And I want to tell you, it is absolute adventure. It's wild and it's crazy and it's fun and it's amazing. But I want to tell you, the devil wants to distract you with the counterfeit of it. God has got a purpose and a potential and a plan all ready for you. It's ready for you to discover. The devil wants to distract you with the earthly pleasures, but I want to say this. When you live out your purpose, you're focused on what truly matters. You're distracted by all these things, but when you live out your purpose, you're focused on what truly matters. There's a pastor at a larger church that I listen to every now and then. He told a story of about their dream team, kind of like how we have our dream team. He was telling the story of he had this doctor in his church that was very wealthy, very respected doctor in his field. And he said he got there one Sunday morning. He saw this doctor, this rich man, this prominent member of the community, and he was serving that morning and he was putting out water bottles for the church service. And he said that very moment he looked, he said, this is a doctor. This is this respected you know, genius of a man, and he's just putting out water bottles. And so he said, I went over to him, I said, sir, I'm so sorry that they put you doing, I'm going to put you on a more important task. You know, I'm so sorry they got you just putting out water bottles. And this doctor turned to the pastor and rebuked him. You want to know what he told him? He said, don't take me away from this. This is the only thing I do all week that matters. Man, if I was a doctor, I don't know if I would be saying that about water bottles, but it's amazing to see the perspective. Getting to take part in what God is doing in this church, getting a chance to take part of what God is doing in this community, whether it's here on Sunday mornings or whether it's, you know, at your work Monday through Friday, getting to just be the missionary and tell people about Jesus and inviting them to church. I want to tell you, you have got a divine purpose for your life. And I want to tell you, there's nights where my head hits the pillow and I am just spent, y'all. Y'all know those days where you've just been hustling all day, right? And your head hits the pillow and you're just spent. And I absolutely love that phrase, because I look at it this way. Every day is like a dollar and you get to choose how to spend it. You get to choose how to spend it. And so the days when I hit the pillow and I'm just spent, there's a much different feeling when I hit the pillow and I'm spent, because I've been staying up late watching something with my wife, or I've been eating too much ice cream and I'm spent. Y'all know that feeling. There's much different feeling those nights as opposed to the nights where I've just been, you know, working towards my purpose, working and doing things that truly matter for God, as opposed to the other nights. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There's a much different kind of spent. It's the spent of peace, I guess, if you want to put it that way. When you are running with purpose, you're living God's best life for you, and you don't need a counterfeit. You know that you're focused on what truly matters. And this is the last thing, and the last roadblock to living out your purpose is that you're drowned by anxieties. You're drowned by anxieties. You've already got, your hands are already so full. You're like, how are you asking me to take on one more thing? How are you asking me to do more than I'm already doing? Because I'm already coming up short. How are you? My life, I'm already worried about this, and I'm already falling short over here. How are you asking me to take on one more thing? And it's a real struggle, especially in 2019. And I'm not going to pretend that anxieties and worry is not a problem today, because it is. It's a huge struggle. And if you look at the numbers, it's on the rise every single year. It's on the rise every single year. In fact, I was looking up, a group of psychologists in Eastern Europe had done this study, and they were studying clinical anxiety and depression. But it's as big a problem as it is here in America, it's actually a much bigger problem in Eastern Europe, if you guys have ever followed that before. But what they found in their study and what they were looking for was this. These are secular psychologists. They're not Christians. But in their study, they found this. Is that there are patients who had anxiety and depression. It says that the ones, I got to read it exactly how they said it. They said that having a sense of purpose in life served as a buffer against anxiety and depression. This is secular side. This is not even in the church, y'all. It's like they're discovering the thing that God said 2,000 years ago, you know. And I love how they even said it this way. They said, the depression didn't vanish. They would still experience depression, it says this, but they were able to cope with it. And it reminds me of the words of Jesus where he said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart because I've overcome the world. When we're connected with our God-given purpose, we can take heart. I'm not going to lie. This world is an ocean of anxiety waiting to drown you. And it's taking even more and more and more people. But discovering your God-given purpose is the best and truest way to be delivered from the anxieties of this life. Knowing when your head hits the pillow every night that you lived a life of eternal significance, believing that you have an eternal purpose. Knowing that God has created you, that he sees you as a masterpiece, and that he wants to use you on his team to make an eternal difference in this world, man, that's a buffer. If I don't know what is, If that's not a buffer, I don't know what is. And I don't know, maybe you say to me this morning, I don't know why, but I've been feeling super stressed lately. That's me. Maybe you feel bored with life. Maybe you feel like something's missing. And I don't mean to be brash, and I don't mean to plow over anything this morning. But I do want to say this, is that if you feel bored, if you feel stressed, if you feel anxious about something, you feel like something is missing, but you know that you're not living in the purpose that God has created you for, I don't see how you would feel any different. I don't see why you should feel any different. Because if God has made you to do something, you're going to be the most satisfied when you're doing that thing. And so it's not a matter of adding on another thing. It's this thing should be the prime thing that you should be doing. This should be the first this should be the first priority. Is if I'm created to do this thing, then everything else is secondary. If I'm created to do this thing, everything else is auxiliary to me. And for me, when I went through Discovery, and when we first did it here at the church, it was called Growth Track. If you guys heard us talk about that. When I first went through it, I was excited about it. I was so excited because I'd never done anything like it before. I was like 23, 24, something like that. And I was excited about the person. We have in Step 2, we have this thing called the personality test. And the personality test, there's four different personalities that everybody has, but one is like your go-to, we kind of say. I won't get into everything, but there's one that's called the dominant personality type. And only 3% of the people in the population have it, or that's their go-to. But it's like the CEO, the leader, the absolute just alpha. And y'all, when I was taking that test, you weren't supposed to try to get one, but I was trying to get that one. I was like, I want to be an alpha, I want to be the leader. I want to be the head. And this sounds ridiculous and it sounds stupid, but I tend to be ridiculous and stupid. But I honestly thought when I was taking that test that if I didn't get that personality type, then I would be a failure. And I know that sounds ridiculous. And when I got the test back, how many of y'all know I wasn't that? Okay. I was not the alpha. I was not the D. But when I got the test, and there was some, what's the word? Cognitive dissonance. Isn't that the word? Just like a hold on a second. And I had to wrestle with it for a little bit. Like, why am I not this? Why am I not the thing that I thought I was supposed to be? But I want to tell you something, is that there's a sense now in my life of embracing God's design that wasn't there before. I was striving to be something that I wasn't, and now I can look at God's design on my life and say, God, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know it full well. I know that God has not created me to be the D personality type, but the way he's created me, I'm going to be the best that I can be for him. There's this sense of embracing God's design. I'm not going to be pretentious and stand up here and say that discovering and living your God-given purpose is going to make all your problems go away. I'm not going to say that, but I'm going to say this. It does help to give you peace through the storms. When you know that what you're doing is making an eternal difference, it helps to give you peace through the storms. I know that what I'm doing is what God wants me to do. I know that he'll be faithful to take care of the rest. Jesus said, seek first his kingdom and all these things will be added to you. When you live, see, if you're drowned by anxieties, when you live out your purpose, you can rest in God's perfect will. Like, you're doing all the running before, but when you live out your purpose, you're going to find that it's not an extra thing. It's a thing that adds rest to your life. Because it's what you were created to do. When you're actively living out your design, you start to see God's design everywhere all over your life. It's for me, it was a mindset shifting thing. I've started to see God's design all over my life. Now, every day before Jen and I send our kids to school, I'm going to close up with this. Every day before my kids go to school, Jen and I say these two things over them. We say a lot because we're both talkers, but... But we make sure we say these two things over them every single day. And actually last year was just our one son, Rylan, that goes, that went to school. This next year we got two kids going to school. Hallelujah, right? There we go. Summertime's almost over. But before they go to school, Jen and I tell our kids two things. And the first one we tell them is this: you're a world changer for Jesus. You are a world changer for Jesus. And the other thing I say is, I said when we walk over to school, I tell them, today is going to be a great day today, buddy. Do you know how I know it? Is Rylan in here this morning? Shout it out. What do you say, buddy? Because the Lord made this day. Come on, y'all. You're a world changer for Jesus. And today's going to be a great day. Do you know how I know it? Because the Lord made this day. When you're walking in your God-given purpose, it means you're stepping out in faith every day, knowing that God didn't make an accident when he made you. Knowing he didn't make an accident when he made today. Matthew, this is the last scripture, and we're going to end up on this. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said this: come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, drowning in anxiety, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You will find rest for your souls. And this is what he says: for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, we're in Louisiana. I don't know if anybody's ever plowed with a team of oxen before, but this made a whole lot more sense 2,000 years ago. And I want to tell you something. They were confused when they heard it too, because the yoke, you know, the big piece of wood that you put on oxen to make them work, it wasn't a symbol of rest. Jesus said, take my yoke and I'll give you rest. And they're like, what are you talking about? Because a yoke is not a symbol of rest. A yoke is a symbol of work. And so this is what Jesus is saying to every single one of us this morning. The yoke never comes off, but you get to choose who you're yoked to. You're going to work for something. You're going to work for something. But Jesus is saying this: you can do the work. You can, let me say it this way to somebody this morning. You can keep doing the work that drains you, or you can do his work that fills you. The yoke never comes off. You just get to choose who you're yoked to. I want to speak to somebody this morning who maybe your work has just become unbearable. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom and just the day-after-day drain of things has just become unbearable. It's you're drowning in anxiety. It seems like the days aren't changing. You just feel drained over and over and over. If that's you, if your work week or your normal Monday through Saturday has just become unbearable, I want to speak to you this morning. I want to challenge you. Redeem it. Redeem it. Inject some eternal purpose into it. Because I want to tell you something before you go to work this week. Before you go back to your normal Monday through Saturday thing, I want to speak over your life this morning, and I want to tell you something. You're never going to be satisfied making a dollar when you were made to make a difference. And before we close out this morning, I want to say two things over your life. You are a world changer for Jesus. And today's going to be a great day. And do you know how I know it? Because the Lord made this day. This week is going to be a great week because the Lord made this day. And what I tell them is that means that God knows everything that's going to happen to you today. It means you know God knows everything that's going to happen to you this week. And he's working it all together for your purpose. He's working it all together for your good, the scripture says. You're a world changer for Jesus. I don't know. What I'm hoping is when we're saying those words, you're a world changer, you start to feel the rubber bands just shooting off, right? You're a world changer. If your Monday has become miserable, man, let's just change the whole mindset. Let's make Monday a mission. Let's make Monday a mission where you know, instead of just making a dollar, I'm going into work this morning, this week, and I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to share the love of Jesus with somebody, whether that means inviting them to church, whether it just means being nicer than I normally am. No matter what it means, I'm going to live out my purpose this week and point people to the hope that is only found in Jesus. Can we make Monday a mission this week, everybody? Come on. So I want to end with this. And if you guys want to go ahead and stand up, bow your heads, close your eyes, wherever you're at. I want to say this. Living out your purpose brings peace, and I know it. It brings assurance. Most of all, the reason it does that is because it brings you closer to the one who gave you purpose. It brings you closer to the one who gave you purpose. And see, in the ancient days, yokes had two holes. I'm sorry, I told y'all about your heads. I want y'all to see this last picture. In the old days, yokes had two holes. And so what Jesus is saying when he says, take my yoke, is he's saying, get yoked right next to me. I'm going to help you pull that burden. I'm going to help you pull that weight. I'm going to help you pull through that anxiety. And so when you're living out that purpose, it means you're that much closer to Jesus because you got to be. You're roped in right there with him, and he's roped in there right there with you. And so the answer isn't to stop running, it's to run with purpose. Come right alongside Jesus and what he wants to do in your life. So now you can bow your heads and close your eyes. And this is what I want to do this morning. Is I want to give you an opportunity to come alongside Jesus. And start fresh, start new in your life. If you were hearing the message this morning and you heard it and it wasn't just, I'm not living my purpose. It's I'm flying in the face of what I know God wants me to do. I'm living in sin. I'm living in rebellion to God. The beginning of this entire journey is when you stop and you say, God, I want to come alongside you. I want you to come in my life. And what he says, what he promises is that he will wipe your sins clean. He says, if we believe in him, if we confess our sins, he is faithful, he's just. He will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Start the journey this morning. If that's you this morning and you want to be forgiven, you want your past to be cleansed and redeemed, and you want God to start you, and you want to just start fresh and new, and you want God to give you that new life this morning, I want you to go ahead and raise your hands wherever you're at. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. That's awesome, y'all. That's awesome. Anybody else? Awesome. Why don't y'all, we're going to pray out loud, and we're going to pray together as a church to help the ones who raised their hands. And it's not the words of the prayer that mean something. It's the heart behind it. So let's pray and help the ones who raised their hands this morning. Say, Dear Jesus, I know that I've messed up. I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that I need you to wash me clean. I believe in you, Jesus. I thank you for your sacrifice on the cross and your blood that washes me clean. And now I give my life to you. Cleanse me. Use me. I love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Come on, put your hands together for those who raised their hands this morning. That's awesome. You were made for a purpose. Come on, let's worship our God this morning. Come on.